What do you want to be remembered for, and who is it that you want to remember you?
Hey, this is Ryan Tucker, and we want to thank you for listening to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. In this podcast, we get to dive into Pastor Stephen's weekly sermons right here at Highland Park Baptist Church. We would ask you to rate, like, subscribe, and comment. And again, we are honored and thankful that you have chosen to listen to the Unchangeable Truth. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast with Pastor Stephen Kyle right here in Panama City, Highland Park Baptist Church. And man, Sunday was one of those days again where it was just slam-packed with stuff, man.
It's like you're running a race.
Running a race. We had baby dedication week before, graduate recognition, and your son was a part of that. So how's the Kyle family with baby boy graduating? How's mama doing?
Yeah, well, tomorrow night is the official graduation, yeah. So we'll find out then. I got a feeling a few tears will be shed. We had a display of his life, I guess his 18 years, and yes, you get a little teary-eyed looking at those things. So, anyway, I mean, he's not going anywhere. I mean, he's going to stay local here. I mean, he's talking. You know, we have a thing in the state of Florida. If you get an AA, in which he's not far away graduating high school, have an AA. If you get an AA, then you're automatically accepted in any school in the state that you want to go to. And of course, the world right now wants to come to Florida, to go to college. And so he'll stay local, get that AA, and then he can do whatever he wants to do. But he. Yeah, he was talking about that the other day, talking about where he might want to go to school and talking about a school 6 hours away. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see. I just told his mom, I said, you just need to pray for a Jesus-loving, beautiful young lady to come along, and she'll anchor him down. So, but I feel sorry for the young lady who shows up, because we got a mama and two sisters. So. But it's good. It's good. Yeah. You know, I was out, I've been out a few days, and we had our academy graduation here, and my son was a part of the very first graduating class.
Yeah.
And so I had him do the prayer that I would normally do.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a neat thing. Somebody videoed it, and he was up there and praying and, you know, doing what he did. It's kind of neat. They should have put a picture up of him of when he graduated up there. But, kind of a neat thing, and he does stuff like that well, and you know he'll get better and better the more he does stuff like that. So,
yeah, anyway. Well, it was a good day. It was busy. I think there were 40 something high school graduates, and
a lot,
couple of college. I mean, it's just absolutely busy day. But the sermon that you were able to talk through, and I think it was fitting for the day, fitting for, you know, especially our culture today. That verse out of John chapter 3, verse 30, where it says that he must increase and I must decrease. And
so I've heard preachers for years.
Yeah.
I mean, ever since I was a little kid, when they would pray and they would always pray that prayer, you know, like John.
Yeah.
I must decrease, you must increase. And so whenever I go somewhere to speak, or whenever somebody comes here and we have a prayer time before we get ready to go out, that is usually a part of that prayer. And it's a great prayer. And again, we're talking about the guy here who Christ said, hey, out of everybody that's been born among women, that'd be everybody.
Right.
John's the greatest.
Yeah.
John's the greatest. I think this gives us a great indication and a great look into his soul, and, not perfect. We know he had struggles, like we all probably have and probably will continue, but I'm glad that he, you know, that is a great statement when their folks are trying to elevate him. No, it's not about me, man. It's not about me. I've got a job, but my job's to make much of him.
Yeah.
And we were talking beforehand, and I know that's not really what we hear a lot in our culture today.
Yeah.
It's all about me. Look out for number one.
Yeah. Well, and you know, for me, like whenever this is one of those statements that if you just kind of, you know, you talk about meditating on scripture and even praying scripture. Like if you really just sit and think about that in your own life, spiritually, what God's doing and how you can just kind of be in tune with what God's doing in your life. Like this is kind of countercultural, right? Like this, but man, it is rich with just humility and, again, like kind of like what you said about John the Baptist, understanding his position. Like, he knew his job. Like,
right.
He knew.
Yeah, his followers may have misunderstood just a little bit, yeah. But he clearly did. And really, the way I opened up the sermon, I told him, I said, hey, here's how I landed on this verse. We were getting the display table ready for our son who's graduating, and hey, ask him, what is his favorite Bible verse? And my wife, you know, texted him, and he said, you know, John 3:30, and you know, I'm like, I'm walking through John chapter 3, because when you hear John 3, it's not necessarily 30. And anyway, I'm like, yeah, that's a good one. And I'm like, hey, that'd be a great thing to preach. That'd be a perfect for all of us, no matter whether we graduated high school, college, or we're 80 years old.
Yeah.
So you're right. Countercultural. Don't hear a lot. We'd say it this way. It's about dying to self.
Mm.
And having life in Christ, taking up the cross, carrying it daily, following him. The life that I've been given is not given to exalt myself, but the life that I've been given is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. So, and I started breaking it down, started looking at some original language there.
Well, and I appreciate what you said about, you know, John's not saying that Jesus must change something. That's why he has to increase. Like, because if he had to change something, that means he wasn't enough. Right. And we know that. And so I thought that was kind of like this good foundational statement to say, because I know, there are people that try to just pick things apart and theologically and philosophically mix all this stuff together. Like, I think that was a great foundational statement to.
Well, I think you can make the argument, if he's perfect in all things, he can't increase.
Yeah.
And, no. Yeah, that's not really what John was meaning there.
Yeah.
You know, he's talking about, I would say, influence, reputation, people's lives, because John had a great following.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd been doing this before Jesus showed up on the scene, and he was radical, if there ever was anybody that was radical. And so as slowly his followers started making their way towards Jesus, and he's like, no, this is what it's all about. It's about their him increasing in their lives to the point, you know, even John, you know, when he's there, I mean, he, as well, hey, no, this is about me following him.
Yeah.
I just wanted to throw that out there. No, you know, God can't get greater. God's as great as there is.
Yeah.
We can't even comprehend this side of heaven. And when we get to heaven, it won't matter. I think we'll be overwhelmed by the greatness of God, the holiness and the glory of God. But God's not going to get any greater. God is the greatest of everything.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever word you want to throw out there that is a positive word, he is the best at it. He is the most... gracious. He is the most merciful. He is the most just. He's at the top, number one in the class.
Yeah.
It's not like he's got a really good fastball and his slider. It's lacking a little bit. No. Yeah. Every bit of it. He's the best.
Well, one of the guys I read was just kind of talking about how, like, we can't even come up with words eloquent enough or holy enough to be able to explain some of the attributes and characteristics of God, like in our English language, we just can't. But again, I think this is a great thought that, you know, he must increase, I must decrease. And even as you look at, you know, John here, where it says he's the voice in the wilderness, where his message was, hey, this is who Jesus is. This is what Jesus does. And he's preaching repentance and, you know, the voice of the coming Messiah, which...
He was the forerunner.
Yeah.
And got a shout out from our forerunners when I did that. You know, a couple of hoo-hoo.
Yeah.
The only way for my job to be successful is I have to decrease.
Mm.
And, I mean, I think we can make the argument. The only way for us to fulfill the purpose of our life is us decreasing and Jesus increasing through us. And that is especially difficult and hard when we live in a day and age about, it's all about me. If I don't watch out for myself, then nobody else will. If I don't exalt myself, nobody will. I was taught at an early age, man, let the Lord promote you.
Yeah.
You know, you humble yourself. Let the Lord promote you. And that can be a hard thing. And we look at it in terms of ministry. You know, when you're the guy in town that everybody wants to come to your church, or, you know, somebody wants you to write a book, or, you know, somebody wants you to come and help, or, you know, you've got the one of the greatest podcasts out there.
Absolutely. I mean,
whatever the case is, like, yeah, oh man, yeah. But what happens when there's a transition that takes place, when all those things slowly start fading away, when that season may change? Mm-hmm. Here's John. There's none greater.
Yeah.
I mean, he's out there and he's catching all kinds of grief, but man, God's blessing it and people are flocking to hear him and see him. And one of the points that I made was he realizes what this means, that, okay, Jesus is now on the scene, and even his followers even made the statement, whoa, 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 there are people leaving us to go follow him.
Yeah.
And he would have been like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. That's why we're here. But, you know, the flesh, probably a little difficult thing there.
Yeah.
Okay, no longer are we going to be, how many we baptized today?
Yeah.
How many? Wow. Or, man, what a great sermon, John. You got those Pharisees, man. You put them in their place. Those days would change. And soon he would be in a prison, and soon he would give his life.
Mm.
And, you know, the point that I even made is, even in his death, the Bible makes it clear that God used it to point to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And as followers of Jesus, I think we have to keep that front page, the life that I've been given, whether we're talking 70 years, 40 years, whatever the case may be, the life that I've been given is, number one, for me to be in relationship with Jesus, and then for me to point people to Jesus.
Yeah.
If the whole purpose of my life is that I get saved, then we've made this statement before, then the moment that we get saved, then why didn't God just go ahead and take us up to heaven?
Right.
Or somebody gets saved and, oh, this is awesome. Now drink this strychnine, drink this, you know, cyanide. You can go to heaven now, you're saved. Now there is, even though that's not said, a lot of times that's lived.
Yeah.
Hey man, I'm saved. I know where I'm going when I'm dying. Whew.
Yeah.
I can relax now. No, the reason why he's left you here is that sanctification process. Mm-hmm. And part of that sanctification process is, look at what Jesus has done for me.
Yeah.
I want you to know the same one. Jesus, 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 Jesus is all about him. And so I would encourage those that are watching or listening, understand that no matter where you are in stage of life, if you're in the increasing or you're in the decreasing,
yeah,
God's still using it. Just keep pointing people to Jesus.
Well, and even James talks about, you know, our faith requires some action and, you know, the bearing of fruit. And part of that is, you know, yeah, we're not supposed to just sit and do nothing. We're not supposed to sit and be quiet. You know, there's lots of scriptures that tell us to open our mouth and share the gospel. There's lots of scripture that tells us that we got to live, you know, by bearing fruit. And yeah, I mean, it is, there's a lot of people who, They enjoy sitting in the seat and walking out, and life never changes for them spiritually, and they're okay with that. And I can't be one of those guys. Like I feel like, man, like I desire to want to grow and know. And
well, I think Paul had some pretty strong words for that.
Yeah,
spiritual babies.
Yeah,
get off the milk. I'm thankful that John.
Mm.
He knew who he was, and he knew who he wasn't.
Yeah.
And I think that's important for all of us.
Yeah.
What has God created me for? What is he wanting to accomplish in my life? As I said, I say a lot, he wants to get glory through your life.
Yeah.
Now, that pathway to glory may be a little bit different, depending on who you are, what you do, all those kinds of things. It's unique for each one of us. But when I understand my purpose for life, I don't have to pretend to be somebody that I'm not.
Yeah.
If I think my purpose in life is to, you know, become famous, then all of a sudden, okay, how do I become famous? Maybe I'll act this way and then I really don't embrace that. Or my purpose in life is to make money or whatever the case is. When I don't understand the reason for being, then I tend to gravitate toward, ooh, let me look around at somebody that maybe has been successful, and I'll just emulate what they have done, or I'll pretend to be someone that I'm not. We've all been around folks that they're one way in one crowd and one way in another crowd. And John would not have been that guy.
Right.
John didn't say one thing when the people are out there being baptized. And then when he was behind closed doors with his followers, say, man, you're right. What are we going to do? Mm-hmm. They're leaving us in droves.
Yeah.
But no, I think that's a key thing there, that when you've got a good grasp on God's calling on your life, you really don't have to fool people into thinking that you're something that you're not.
Well, and again, so you stated he understood his position. He understood his message. His message was repentance. His message was about the Messiah. His message was not about him. And, you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, different churches and strategies for growth. And, you know, one of the things that you always say here is like, you know, let's make a beeline to the cross and get there as fast as we can. And, you know, I mean, that's what John, he was doing.
He would say, that's why I'm here.
Yeah. You know,
well, if you know who you are, as far as you know your purpose, and then you know the source of your power, then you're not going to complain when you've got a decrease.
Yeah.
Because if anything, you're like, okay, this is awesome. This is why I'm here. And for all of us, there will be seasons of increase. There will be seasons of decrease, seasons of increase, seasons of decrease. But when my eye is focused on the purpose and the power behind it, then I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Because again, I'm tracking towards Jesus. We have a discipleship group, my wife and I do, of three couples that, I don't know, we'll start and we'll go through every book of the Bible, and we'll go, I don't know, 18 months or something like that. And I don't know, 6 weeks ago we finished the New Testament, and I didn't want to start the Old Testament because I knew summer was coming up. And we kept talking so much about the will of God, the will of God, the will of God. I'm like, man, we got to study experience of God. How many of you around this table? And only Jennifer and I had studied experience in God. Yeah. I'm like, oh my goodness, how did you get to be a part of this church, and you've never done the experience of God study.
How are
you
a Baptist?
Well, yeah. Journey's been through experiencing God a few times.
Reading it right now.
Well, so we're sitting there, and I'm like, okay, let's start digging into this. Now, I will say this. It would have been good for me to maybe consult with my co-leader, my wife, before I did that, because she heard it when everybody else did, and she's like, whoa, that's going to mess up our schedule. But anyway, we continued and rolled on through that. But just focusing on, here's, you know, what is my pursuit on a daily basis? My pursuit on a daily basis is not, man, let me earn more money. Now, please hear what I'm saying. You should have a job. You should work. And you should do the best that you can.
Right.
Because the Bible tells us that as you're serving that employer, treat it like you're serving Jesus Christ and do the best that you can. You don't want them to sit there and say, oh, man, those Christians, they don't ever do anything and harm the cause of Christ. Work hard. Be a good worker. Keep your mouth shut and just roll with it, man. I'm doing this to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. But ultimately, at the end of the day, what is my goal today? I want to fall more in love with Him. I want my dependence on Him to increase. I want to know Him more.
Yeah.
And all those secondary things, they'll just kind of fall right in line. Yeah. You know, and it's not about providing all these material things. Nothing wrong with those things as long as they take second chair to these other things.
Yeah.
And so that's what we see happening here with John.
Yeah.
John's telling his followers, hey, guys, understand, the whole goal for our being is not to see how big this thing could get. The whole goal was, I got to let them know.
Yeah.
Hey, there's one coming, and he's the one that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He's the one that we've been waiting for. He is the Messiah himself. Prepare the way for the Messiah. And then lo and behold, here he is. All right, let's kind of ease back to the back of the stage. Let him take the front, because that's why we're here, and we celebrate the fact. So if you sit there and you look at your life and you accomplish all these things, but you say, what have I done for Christ? What have I done to bring glory to Christ? Yeah. I mean, how disappointing might that be?
Yeah.
As we, you know, look at the opposite side of that, you know, wow, my name never was in lights, or I never won an award or accomplished anything that the world would consider to be successful, but I just kept pointing people to Jesus. Mm. That's what I know. Every child of God today, and when I say child of God, I don't mean you've been created. I mean that you are in relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. Every child of God today, no matter how well known you are, no matter how prominent your job is, no matter how much money you have in the checking account, no matter where you live, no matter if you've got a sixth grade education or you've got a PhD, no matter your skin color, everybody today can point people to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And that's what we see with the greatest, according to Jesus, greatest one ever born.
Yeah.
He knew his job and he did his job. Well, and it was to point people to me.
Yeah. And he also, one of the things that you pointed out, like he understood, he was doing all those things, but he understood that God was in control of his life. Like God was the source, and he was in control of every, you talked about it earlier, in every season. And you know, kind of relating that to us in today's world, like we're going to go through different seasons in life. Like we can see through Scripture that God was just in every part of his life, but John knew that God was in control. And
well, I always find it interesting that we treat prayer as though God conform your will to fit what I want my will to be.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the things that is even brought up in experiencing God, the study, is we shouldn't pray, what is your will for my life?
Yeah.
That shouldn't be the question. The question should be, what is your will, God?
Yeah.
And I want to run to that.
Yeah.
I want to be a part of that. You're like, well, I mean, that's semantics. That's kind of silly.
Yeah.
Well, it's, again, we tend to make everything about us. Let's take us out of the picture. God, what is your overall great will? We've already said that the name of Jesus Christ may be known. And so there's a quote that I used and I heard somewhere, and honestly, I even said, I don't remember where I heard this, where I read this. I can't give anybody credit, but this is not an original thing to me, in which I would have to say probably most things aren't original because I've been doing this for so long and I listen and read so much. But better to be forgotten because we did God's will than to be remembered because we didn't do God's will.
Yeah.
And I would guess the real question would be asked is, what do you want to be remembered for, and who is it that you want to remember you?
Yeah.
It's that whole dash, right, on the tombstone. What are you doing for him? So, I love the fact that here's John. John would have been he probably would have been that crazy uncle that we would talk about. And I mean, you're not gonna believe what John's doing, man. He's just living out there in the wilderness,
look what
out
he's
in the
wearing.
Woods. Yeah, look what he's wearing. And he's not coming to Thanksgiving dinner, is he? And all he's talking about is Jesus. And but we all can relate to him. He had difficulties. He gave his life for Christ. Yeah. There were times that he had doubts. But ultimately, when it was all said and done, he could say, all right, my purpose of living, my life, point people to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Point people to Jesus Christ. And one of the things that we talked about in the message is, unfortunately, we're too fond of our own will.
Yeah. Well, I want to go back to what you said about prayer, because there's just been one of these things that's, again, I read something in this quote just keeps bouncing around in my head. It's like, you know, oftentimes in our prayer, we've already decided what we want God to say. You know, I think about that. You know, I think about that when I pray. And then, you know, talking about the will of God. Yeah, like I look at this whole statement of he must increase, I must decrease. And I look at this kind of what you're talking about, prayer, man. Like, I do think that we're missing this sense of humility when we come to in the presence of Jesus, right? Like, yes, John's message was strong. He was, I'm sure he was pretty confident in what he was doing and what he was saying because he, but man, to me, I see this moment of humility.
Sure.
When he's saying this, and
you just don't hear a lot about humility, and yeah. Humility clearly is something that is not taught. And you know, my prayer every day is, hey, Lord, man, I don't want people today to be talking about me or what I've said or what I've done. I want to be talking about you, humble. You know, give me a humble heart. Yeah. I think it's a fleshly struggle for all of us.
I had somebody come up to me in the welcome center the other day. He's like, he was so excited. He goes, hey, man, he goes, I bought you a book. I'm like, awesome. I love books. He goes, yeah, I bought you a book called Humility by Andrew Murray. I'm like, I have it to my office. He's like, wow. You've already read it. I'm like, yeah. Wow. So I'm like, I wonder what I've done to make him want to buy me a book. Anyway,
I don't know. Maybe it resonated with some of your teachings or something. Yeah.
I just thought it was funny.
Yeah. It's like somebody giving you a how to make your sermons better book or Revelation for Dummies. I had somebody give me that years ago. You know, they have all those books for dummies. It was Revelation for Dummies.
Yeah.
I'm like, thanks, bud. I appreciate that. God bless you.
Yeah, but you're right. We don't hear a lot about humility. We don't like to talk about it because we like to talk about ourselves. And, you know, looking at John the Baptist, man, he didn't.
And if John weren't that way, now we've got two competing movements.
Yeah. Mm.
You guys are right. We were here before him.
Yeah.
We've been doing this a lot longer.
Yeah.
Man, we've had struggles here. We've built this thing.
Yeah, too bad that doesn't happen today, man.
We built this is ours.
Yeah.
Who's he to come in and start talking about repentance?
Yeah.
That was my stick, right? That was my say.
He stole my message.
Yeah, I copyrighted that word. But he didn't. What a powerful thing. We know later on in prison, he's lonely. He's sitting there. He's getting ready to die. And all these doubts flood his mind. I just want to make sure this is right. I want to make sure. And to me, that's what makes him so real.
Yeah.
To all of us, we can identify with this guy.
Yeah.
Facing extreme persecution. Mm. And he's like, I just want to make sure I've got it right.
Yeah.
And he sends a follower to Jesus. And Jesus says, hey, go and tell him what you've seen. The blind are seeing.
Yeah.
The lame are walking. Yeah. Go and tell the wind and the sea, obey me. Yeah, I'm him. Tell John, he's the greatest ever.
Yeah.
And what a great word of encouragement to him in this difficult time. But Jesus doesn't say this, but it's almost like Jesus following the pattern or the example of God the Father. Well done, John.
Yeah.
Well done. Mm. Thank you for doing what you did. Because of you and your willingness to be obedient, that you announced my coming and I came and we're fulfilling both the will of God.
Yeah. He must increase, I must decrease. Mm. May that be our prayer. Well, man, always, as always, thank you for pointing us to Jesus, man. And we'll see you right here next time on the Unchangeable Truth Podcast.
This is Pastor Stephen Kyle, and I would like to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Unchangeable Truth. We would always love to talk to you about your relationship with Jesus Christ, so feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@highlandpark.org. That's HILANDPARK.org. The purpose of this broadcast is to help you fall more in love with Jesus Christ and your faith to grow as you consistently find yourself in the Word of God. If you ever find yourself in Panama City, please feel free to stop by and worship with us in person at 2611 Highway 231 North. May God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us again.